Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Thanks for coming back to my channel. It's about American independence. You could say happy Independence Day, you could say happy fucking Treason Day, okay? Because George III, King of Ireland, he was also the king of those colonies and plantations in North America. So on this day in 1776, when the Continental Congress met in Philadelphia, they've been meeting for a few years, without the permission of His Britannic Majesty, men from all 13 colonies, and some of them signed the Declaration of Independence. Was it two from each colony? The colonies turned themselves to states, sort of, we the people, blah, 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 and they declared that the United States are an independent country. Was it an R? They say before the American Civil War, the United States were, as in a plural, thereafter, the United States is, was, became a singularity. And so forth. All right. So it was certainly an epoch-making change. It wasn't obvious how important it was because the United States seemed to be on the edge of the civilized world. Only 2.5 million people. Only whites had political power. Some went to marry Native Americans. African Americans largely held in the worst kind of thraldom, and so forth. We the people, more accurately, we the rich white men, only a minority of white males had the vote in any colony at the time, but admittedly it was a higher percentage than in Ireland or in Great Britain and so forth. So, and then because the revolution succeeded and because it spread all the way to the Pacific coast and tapped into these enormous reservoirs of minerals and farmland and so on, because, you know, the Louisiana Purchase and Spain sold whatever it was, Florida, Mexico was easily defeated. Obviously, it wasn't foreseeable that they were going to get to the Pacific Ocean in just a few decades. And by the 1870s, by the sort of more or less the centennial of the revolution, be the largest economy in the world. Then the United States could easily have broken apart in the 1860s in the Civil War. Hard to see the Confederacy winning, but the North might have let the South go or something. And obviously the 20th century, coming to the First World War late, but by the 20th century, most of the inventions, scientific breakthroughs were in the United States. So many people leaving Europe and going there, having this all this human capital and so forth. And the superpower after 1945, that rivalry with the Soviet Union, and after the fall of the Berlin Wall 1989, up until 9/11, really unchallenged American mastery. There was that project for the New American Century written in 2000 saying they wanted a full spectrum of American dominance. To some extent, they had it. Some difficulties with Iraq, Afghanistan. And the United States is still very puissant, not as mighty as it was, but, you know, has led us astray. The United States, which has a fairly mighty military, didn't guarantee success in Afghanistan, but, you know, is hugely in debt, has a very retarded political system with PACs, with donations, a major distortion of their political priorities, which doesn't have publicly funded healthcare, almost alone amongst the developed world, which is the only country in the world not to have paid maternity leave. That's it. Maybe some states have it as a federal, they don't. No federal minimum wage to this day. It's only a recommendation. So Americans are so much worse off, really, in some ways. Now I know there's some very wealthy Americans, but since the 70s, for working, for middle class, even some also working class, they've got worse and worse and worse off. And the wealth has been concentrated more and more in fewer and fewer hands. And I can't remember the date, but like sort of in 1970, a CEO made five times that of an average worker. It's now like 50 times. So it's an ever more unequal society, distracted by religious mania, by gun nuttery and so on, by wokery, by BLM, by all sorts of political manias and so forth. And the USA tells us also all sorts of lies, that it's always spread democracy, it's always stood for freedom and stuff like that. I mean, it didn't really have democracy until the 1960s, until African Americans effectively got the vote in the Deep South. And the US has often destroyed democracy abroad, launched military coups, you know, orchestrated that, imposed dictatorships elsewhere. It might say it's a good thing, but like in Indonesia, hundreds of thousands of people slaughtered on suspicion of being communist, a genocide in Bangladesh. These things the United States was more than complicit. So the USA got a very mixed record. Even now, I'm a fervent anti-communist, but even in Korea, the Korean War, it's not to say that Syngman Rhee, the South Korean government, was for freedom. It wasn't. It was a fairly pernicious oligarchy and so on. And I suppose that came right in the end, but you didn't know that at the time. So African-Americans often appallingly treated in the Deep South into the 60s, huge wealth gap between them. Wow. And some African-Americans were, you know, sharecroppers till the 60s, were jailed for the slightest offense, gross injustice towards African-Americans, open terrorism against them by the Ku Klux Klan, which the federal government did almost nothing about, and state governments often colluded in that. And I know that Americans were as disgusted by that as I am. So was there any need to break away? There's some of the lowest tax people in the world. And indeed, the Boston Tea Party was against lowering the tax because the tea smugglers are there. A pervert would like paying tax. Nobody else. Governments need taxation. So after the 7 Years' War, the French and Indian War, as it's known in America, that had to be paid for, huge debt. It mainly benefited the United States, gained more territory for them, secured it for the French. It's right that they should pay it a little bit. But they threw the toys out of the pram. And London interfered in their lives very little, but requires some taxation. All governments tax, the US government taxes to this day and so forth. So I don't think that they were tyrannized by any means. But sometimes there was ineptitude from the UK government. Closing the port of Boston to pay for that was probably an overreaction. As the trouble is, they backed down, passing that, what was it, that Declaratory Act 1760, not enacting the powers that the UK was entitled to use. They will also argue, well, you know, you left the United Kingdom, therefore accepting you left some of those rights behind. They were not fully applicable in the colonies. You don't accept that you shouldn't leave the mother country and so forth. But some will say, well, these rights came with us, the Magna Carta rights with us. Some English laws applicable to the colonies, therefore these rights are applicable to us. And obviously it's not as though the US government treated African-Americans well, as Dr. Johnson said, why do we hear the loudest yelps of liberty coming from the drivers of Negroes? Now they're pro-slavery, anti-slavery people on both sides of the revolution. I can't remember which American film it was, and Anthony Hopkins plays with some retired American president saying the abolition of servitude would be the last battle of the American Revolution. Well, what a big lie. It was something to do with that. I suppose it's somewhat a tu quoque argument. And even the Declaration of Independence setting forth supposedly abuses by His Gracious Majesty, saying, you know, not pretty, these bands of savages, the Native Americans who slaughter without regard to age or sex. But sometimes that's true, but obviously some whites did that to Native Americans as well. Goodness, so American independence is never ever going to be reversed. As Ada Roberts said, if there had been wiser statesmanship, Monica wasn't so reactionary as George III. Compromise, accept that olive branch petition, no revolution, becomes part of, you may be represented in Westminster, the United Kingdom expands, fully integrated, and expands. Obviously, as the voyage across the Atlantic got faster and faster, that'd be more and more viable. And you think, you know, the British Empire was mighty, the United States was mighty, their combined strength would have been simply unbeatable. It would have meant no First World War and no Second World War and no Cold War and slavery abolished sooner. So hats off to those, to the loyalists who said, well, we're British, we're American, there's no distinction between the two. And obviously the US eventually led to the dissolution of the British Empire. Not the US was anti-imperialist, it's very imperialist, constantly intervening in the Caribbean and Central America, the Monroe Doctrine, and what was that corollary to it? Obviously conquering territory, being happy to call themselves an empire, conquering Hawaii, having bases on China that they imposed on the Chinese, indeed threatening the Japanese to open up, having the Philippines as a colony for some time, to this day having territories and not allowing them to join the United States, where in 2010, Puerto Rico voted they want to be a state. They're still not given that status. Guam, American Samoa, these people discriminated against, not fully integrated. So sort of mixed blessing, the American Revolution. That's it. All right. So I suppose I don't celebrate it. I don't think it's terrible. It wasn't an evil system. It wasn't an improvement for the African-Americans, I recognize at least. And was it terrorism? Well, obviously, it was unlawful violence, but, you know, they largely behaved honorably, the Continental Army, the United States Army, not many atrocities that they committed. And, you know, got no illusions about the British elite. The United Kingdom, in some ways, a highly civilized society, but also barbaric, because the appalling, sickening sadism against black people in the transatlantic slave trade. And indeed, harshness, executions for grand larceny, flogging in the army, cruelty like that, which was obviously a bloke wheel. Right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.